coming in hot.
With the
no
rasp.
No punks allowed. With the rasp. We'll explain this. Now, did I just land from Vegas like 8 minutes ago? Yes.
Yes.
Does it sound like I have a Vegas voice? One could say that. Is there pneumonia in my house right now? And this is actually a product of being sick? I want you to believe that, because that is the truth. But if you want to say, hey, asshole, you just landed from Vegas, like, Paige, you can do that.
See,
so,
I won't do that. But I do first want to start with our lovely sponsor, Municipal. Shout out Municipal. We're both wearing the gear.
Which side
I love
is
this,
it on?
These colors. I have to tell you, the colors that they have and the colorways they have this last year, crushing it.
I had on a different Municipal shirt on my on the plane. It was one of the colorful ones.
Yeah.
And I was getting off the flight attendant goes, buddy, I love that. She didn't say buddy. I always say buddy. She's like, I love that shirt. It's like, thank you.
Thanks. And you
thanks
love a
so
good
much
clothes compliment because it's
I
really,
love, I,
you
I
do.
Do.
When
I
you
do
get one,
I do.
You
I do.
Really,
I,
you,
I,
you really take
I,
it in.
There's well, no denying that.
And hilariously enough, so we obviously do the AP poll shows on Sundays. And the AP poll website has like ads everywhere. It's a terrible website. We love the AP poll, but that website's so terrible.
Oh, so bad.
And we were on Sunday and I said to you, I was like, hey, my like targeted ads is Municipal. So that's how you know I actually go on there. But Municipal.com. But we did have some game day upsets winners, correct?
Yes, we do.
This week.
It was a intense week. This was like some of the most, there was a lot of SMU over Louisville, which was a 6.5-7 point spread. But we're going to give out two gift cards because they're basically a tie. Matt Washburn and Ken Faith. So at Lou Card, interesting that he didn't pick the Louisville Cardinals, both had Arkansas and Tennessee. And this is what's amazing. Arkansas 31, Tennessee 24, Arkansas 31, Tennessee 27. It's close enough. Everybody's getting a gift card. So congrats, gents, to that. Cheers. Every Saturday, come join us. We've had a lot of submissions.
So you missed last week's episode. Obviously, logistics-wise, you got to go to a playoff game.
Oh, yeah.
And all of the fun stuff. But you did, in fact, sort of get out of a little bit of a troll situation. And I promised the people on the pod last week that I would not let you off the hook with your lock that you had. And, you know, I just want to get from your perspective how you're feeling about Baylor overall after that Baylor over BYU pick.
So,
and how lucky you were that Alabama lost, because I was so busy doing actual work that I couldn't spend time trolling you as much as I wanted to.
So I just want to say I was wrong. You were right. I did take the information from that game. And I did have Iowa State last week. So I turned my just bad pick into a profitable moment.
Right.
Because that Baylor team is fucking dog shit. And and I'm not the body language police, but I kind of am. They have quit.
You can
see, well, like, is he going to be the first? Hey, here, Trent Dilfer. Like, who's going to get fired first?
Yeah.
I think it might be him. I think I don't know. Who do they play this week? Maybe the vibes are bad.
They need it.
You were right. I was wrong. Not to deflect.
Oh, great. So if producer Matt, if you could just clip that for me so
you
I could just
were
download
right
it.
I was wrong.
Okay, thank you.
It could be your ringtone. You could be
it
your
will
ringtone.
Be. Anytime you text me or message me, that's what it's going to be. So producer Matt, please get that clipped so I can save it to my phone and watch it over and over again. But the trolling is done for your sake, but the trolling of Alabama is going to happen right
holy
now
shit.
Because how and we won't harp on this too much because again this is the middle of the week, end of the week, because we're running a little late on this week's episode. It's been a while since this game has happened, but I'm still like kind of in shock. And one of my favorite things to come out of this game was Lane Kiffin watching it in his presser and not listening to anyone and being like, you guys should be watching this because, like, you're never going to see it again in your lifetime. Like, Alabama is losing to Vanderbilt and lost to Vanderbilt, which is so unreal. I still cannot believe that it happened.
So, I have been traveling this week, so I haven't actually been very online. Which is actually, something I recommend to everybody out there every once in a while.
Go to Vegas.
What has been the DeBoer Discord since? Because my vibe is that it's not as bad as I thought it was going to be.
Really? So yeah. Maybe I'm a little bit more on Alabama Twitter. I think there's a lot of jokes and some people are like, this is the Alabama way. Like, he's trying to make it so we don't play in the SEC championship game. We wait it out and we get into the college football playoff anyway. Great call. That's a hilarious joke.
Yes.
Which is the Alabama way, where you don't get that extra loss in the championship game. But I think people are just kind of like, what does
Still
this
shocked.
Mean? Yeah. Like, I don't think people are able to like react because they don't want to overreact to something that was just clearly a very, very bad hangover game. And again, if they look, and the writing was a little on the wall in the sense that like we did see a collapse a little bit against Georgia. And I talked last week on the pod and I said, I thought that was a really positive thing for Alabama because it made them like understand that they needed to keep like their foot on the gas. They need to keep you can't let teams come back. And even if you're in the driver's seat, you kind of need to take charge of your own game. And that obviously didn't translate over to Vanderbilt. And I think it's a really good like lesson for them. I hope that this is not the team that we see against maybe some of their tougher opponents, maybe some opponents that can knock them out of the playoff. Because if you have this loss, you still have a few teams that are gritty, and Vanderbilt's not, they're not bad. They're not what we're used to, but they're not great. So I think it's alarming, and I think everyone's waiting to see just how Alabama responds to it before the reaction actually happens.
They're basically a 3-touchdown favorite this week over South Carolina. I think they're going to beat the shit out of South Carolina. But I will say this. That defense is not great of Alabama's. It's not great. Vandy does have a pretty good quarterback and got hot, and it just kind of snowballed. But the defense, you know, that's the part, right? Like, that's the part, like, has been the trademark of this team through Heisman running backs and Heisman quarterbacks and wide receivers. It's been the constant, and it just feels like that part, more than anything, of the aura of Alabama is not the same. And now here's the other thing. You and I wrote about this. We talked about it. I want to rant briefly about the regular season games don't matter, fuckers. So tired of hearing about this. Because every big loss, you read like, LLC, like, Alabama would have been out of the playoff. It was four teams or the BCS or whatever.
Oh, no.
Now, I get
people are not
that.
Doing that.
Well, but people, like, you have a bigger playoff. You have more spots. So you have more, you will have more ability. Like, you could lose more games. Like, that is undeniable. But I think this kind of stuff in the last 3 weeks, like, this is a messy college football season. Ole Miss, Kentucky, Alabama, Vanderbilt. Yeah. Oregon has nearly lost a series of games that it shouldn't. Missouri got its ass kicked. This season's a mess. And so I love the fact that we may have one of those seasons of just anarchy. Like this week is natural anarchy. You have ranked games. You have good matchups. Mm-hmm. Like, people will lose. Teams will fall. But it just feels like maybe we have an elite team in Ohio State.
Yeah.
Maybe we have an elite team in Texas. Maybe. That's probably about it at this point, I think.
I did a video about this for BR on Saturday, being like, we need to just enjoy the fact that this is the new college football. Like, it's been frustrating for the last couple of years to have to listen to the fact that everyone's been saying that NIL is going to kill college football. Realignment's killing college football. Expanded playoffs going to kill college football. We're still getting, Alabama lost to Vanderbilt. Like, you're still getting upsets. Tennessee, Missouri. Like, you have, it matters for more teams during the season now. Like, there's real, every time someone is losing, it's like, what does this mean for the playoff for a lot more teams than just the top six or eight teams? Now we're talking about 16 teams probably in that grouping that you could really focus on. And like, that's the thing, is like, it's more exciting. There's more chaos than ever. just enjoy it. Stop criticizing the fact that this, I mean, this is what it is. So you either enjoy it or you can get away. Yeah. And like you and I talked about this, like how exciting is it that an Ashton Jeanty could play in the college football playoff?
Yes.
Like there's, yes. We're going to get players that get to be on the big stage. There's so many things about this expanded playoff that is exciting. I mean, you've got teams that haven't been undefeated to this point in the season for like 30 years, 50 years, all of these things. And here we are having this type of college football season when there is a larger playoff.
What was weird about last week, too, is you had that, and then you had Tennessee fall, a team that we were hyping quite a bit. You had Miami, which I think deserves its own separate discussion. We can talk about them in a second. You had Michigan lose. You had USC lose. It was just like an avalanche of upsets. And those are, again, you get maybe one of those a year, one or two of those a year. Normally not that good. And Alabama does not lose to Vanderbilt. Lane Kiffin is correct. You have to not enjoy that, but you really have to be kind of tuned in because our messages, by the way, during these games, it just cracks me up. It's like all caps, holy shit, oh my God, fuck. Like that's it. That's the extent of how we communicate during these games.
Like, yeah, we do. It's so
like exclamation points. Like that is our, we have our own language when shit is hitting the fan in college football. I also do want to talk about Miami. Like this is one of the strangest two game stretches of a football team in the history of college football,
if
right?
If you were somebody who believed in conspiracy theories.
Yes.
Miami football is for you.
Yes. I have like weirdo Miami fans like calling me out on Twitter or like coming at me on Twitter. And like, I don't know. I didn't even like say anything other than like there was some shitty calls. So Virginia Tech, like, yeah, that last play, weirdness.
Overturned.
And then you had a non-targeting. Now, Cal, you know, did a good job of
let that up. Yeah,
shitting
totally.
Its pants. But there was a like a another like buffet of weirdness in that game.
Yeah.
So we're not conspiracy theorists per se.
No.
But
if you like, were.
If you were.
And if there was something that I was going to be a conspiracy theorist about, it would be college football. That's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
I would certainly buy into it. I think the other thing that we have to mention about the Cal situation is, one, I might owe Cal fans an apology. Here's the thing. This is a half apology because here's what I do know. So my fiance and my brother went to game day at Cal. I know that the significant crowd that was there was not just Cal students. So it was pretty much people in the Bay Area who love college football, which was awesome to see. But they said it was an awesome experience. Obviously, Cal getting a lot of love. And then being in that game and dominating most of the game and letting Miami come back 25 points to win. Brutal way to end that. But I did criticize Cal fans a couple months ago or a month ago or so about them throwing stuff on the field and causing Justin Wilcox to get on the mic of the referees to tell them to please stop because they were getting penalties because of it. But what a like 180 the fans have really made.
Oh my God.
Huge for you guys. And also I'm bummed for Justin Wilcox and co because I feel like they had really good momentum going into this game and that was kind of a bummer.
I like them this week. I'm just saying. I can't remember if that was in my front locks or that might be in my extra locks.
Also, are you team like we should start go game day should start going to places like this where they don't normally go, or are you fine with the status quo?
I think that that's a great question. Actually, here would be my answer. There are certain weeks like I don't even know this. I'm assuming game day is at Oregon, Ohio State.
Yeah,
okay, that you have to go there. Like you have to go. That game is huge. But there's a lot of weeks, the vast majority, where you don't have Alabama, Georgia, or Oregon, Ohio State. And go places. Go to Fargo. Like, some of their best moments of the last 5 years have been in not obscure, but atypical locations. They need to do that more, for sure.
Yeah. I think, like, I mean, yes, they chose Cal for this one because of Miami, but like you could have chose Alabama. You could have chose Vanderbilt. You know what I mean? Go to Nashville. Like there's so many places that I feel like you could pick obviously a team that's ranked and go to a place so that, you know, the fans get that experience. I feel like that'd be really cool. Also, just a side note, my fiance is going to the Oregon Ohio State game. So he just gets to go to all the fun college football games.
Well, you know, it's got to be tough on that crew too, because like that is an early game day. You're rolling at what, like 6 o'clock? Local time?
Yep.
That's hard. Poor Reese Davis. Like, I've got a shitty voice right now.
Wow, you are. I can't believe we didn't realize that comparison sooner. No,
poor Reese Davis. I wasn't making fun of him, to be clear. I think it's incredible. So he does College Game Day. The show started at 6 a.m. So Reese is probably up at 3. I forget what time, but they're up really, really early prepping.
Yeah.
Does the show, has to step in and do the announcer duties. Sounded like me, if not worse than me. And was incredible. Like, wasn't prepared to call a game. Like, that is so fucking hard to do. Like, he obviously knows the teams, but if you're calling a game, you're looking at 2-3 deeps all week long, which he clearly wasn't doing. That's like a baller move, man. Like, and to do it well, even when you can't talk, like,
yeah,
I just felt bad for him though. I wanted to give him like a hug and a cough drop. Like, hey, bud, like, hell of a job. Now go sleep for 3 days and we'll see you at 6 a.m. next week.
For real.
But yeah, you could hear it. You could hear his soul leaving his body during the late portion of that game.
Yeah, no, it was brutal. So before we get into preview of this next week, you and I discussed the fact that Georgia had another player arrested. Colby Young was suspended also for misdemeanor charges of battery and assault on an unborn child. We normally don't love to talk about these things, but we do recognize that there is a little bit of a disciplinary issue at Georgia.
Yes.
Period. Like, and Kirby talking to reporters, you know, said, you know, we've got good guys here and it's on our staff and we got to do better. But the amount of arrests since Georgia has won its first national championship in a while is significant. And it feels like the reins are a little bit off. And it's incredibly frustrating, I think, for probably Georgia fans to, one, have to explain, but to watch. I mean, I know, and maybe this is like recency bias, but like, I can't remember. I mean, I'm sure there's been plenty of players arrested in other programs, but I can't remember a time where it was, I think, maybe a Florida with Urban around that time.
Probably this, yes, the vibe, it's different, and obviously...
Yes. Way less serious.
Yeah, exactly. But like, here's the thing. I was going to say, these are pretty serious. This latest one sounds horrible.
Yeah.
You've had the driving, like... The reckless driving. You've had...
A million... And you also had a death.
Actual death. The reckless driving is no joke. So, and I think Kirby has not gotten crushed for this. I think he's kind of avoided this, to be quite honest. Like, Twitter joke, you know, making fun of how fast Georgia players drive. Like, what do you, at what point does that stop? It feels like there's just a general numbness to this. Like, and look, I'm not going to say fire Kirby Smart.
No.
Like, that's not the take. But, like, I look, Kirby Smart, this has to be, like, crushing his soul, right, as a coach. Mm-hmm. This has got to be, if it's your kids or your players, this is his program. Mm-hmm. This has got to be devastating for him. But at what point does it prompt a major change? And what does a change look like? I don't like criticizing something without having like
a solution.
Answers or ideas, mm-hmm. but I think he's got to reevaluate clearly his program, the people they're bringing in, and what they're teaching, because it is getting out of control.
Yeah, I think it's strange to me that he's not getting the criticism and the pushback, especially from like the people we're very much used to seeing it from. I don't know if media wise, I don't know if that's an access thing. Because, like, we know that to be very true. Like, sometimes if you are critical of something, Coach Prime's a perfect example. I don't know what the situation is with Georgia on that front, but people seem to be less critical of – if this was Nick Saban. You say it because I was going to say Saban. It. I know people will think that I'm biased about it.
If this were Nick Saban – And Saban had plenty of these issues.
He has and not even just at Alabama. He had them at Michigan State too.
You are, this is college. You have a lot of kids. You've got a lot of variables in here. Where these kids come from, all these different things. It's going to happen. But the Georgia stuff is like, it's different and it is a little shocking. And Kirby's personality in general, we probably don't appreciate how good he was. On a positive side, because it's Kirby Smart, and on the negative side, it feels like the same way. Like he's kind of somewhere in the middle, because personality wise, unless he's, you know, a halftime locker room speech is leaky, in which case that's about it.
He's not polarizing, and he doesn't
not
give
at all.
Well, and I think he probably learned from Saban, and also just being at a school like Georgia, like, you know that anything you say is going and what you do is going to be scrutinized, and you're not going to make people happy either way, so you might as well kind of be on the quieter side. I think so his quote was, when you have 130 17 to 23 year olds, you're going to have issues. It's not going to be perfect. I certainly recognize we've got to do a better job, but it's hard on our staff because we've got really good kids, we've got really good people, man, and our kids go out there and they have one of the best practices we've had all year on Tuesday, and they're out there competing and working. You just want them to make better decisions as men off the field. And you know, I take a lot of responsibility for that. It's tough, but that's the cost of leadership. Okay. Well,
I actually don't necessarily think he didn't aw shucks it. It started off kind of rough, like, hey, bunch of college kids going to do stupid college shit.
Yeah, like, boys
but
will be boys.
He is owning it. Like, he's
owning it, but then also to turn it in and be like, they had one of the best practices ever on Tuesday. I'm like, what are we doing?
We broke a lot of crimes, but man, we ran really well.
It's just, like, slightly dismissive of this
disconnected
stuff.
Disconnected,
like,
yeah.
It's like slightly out of touch, but just enough in touch to be, he's like, I take responsibility. Just enough in touch to keep people at bay, but not enough to, like, make an actual change or have something happen. But I will say, I'm curious how Georgia fans feel about it. Because, I mean, if this was a program that I'd be like, what are we doing here? Like, not to be, like, a moral compass of anything, but,
no,
like,
I
would be so frustrated. I mean, there was stuff when I was actually at the University of Arizona, when the end of Rich Rod's term and all of that, there was plenty of things that were going on that were not great, and that's sort of why it ended. So it's like, you kind of gotta hold people accountable, and I'm curious if Georgia fans
I bet you they're not happy.
Frustrated.
I mean, the barking dogs, okay, are one thing, but beneath the barking at strangers is a proud, like, you don't want this. This is a reason for somebody at work to give you shit. It's a reason for you would immerse yourself in this. Like, this is not something you want to attach yourself to, especially this one. I mean, this is.
And to your point, I don't like any of those jokes on Twitter, because I just am like, they literally
somebody died.
Thank you.
Died.
I'm like, so glad that we're on the same
page. Like, the driving fast, like, all of this has a different
two
tone.
Two people lost their lives.
You have death involved. Like, and again, like, we have to be careful here, but that's where, to me, it's completely different than young kids driving fast. No, we're well past that. Like, let's be honest. And this, again, this one, the details certainly sound horrible. But
so,
Georgia, just get your shit together.
Yeah.
Like,
hold each
practice.
Other accountable.
Fuck. Yeah. Get your shit together.
Seriously. The other college football news that, one, I feel like we've been talking a lot about over the last couple of years, is what happens with, like, these super conferences, what happens with private equity and coming into college football. There's been plenty of rumors. Our friend Ross Dellinger always reporting these things. The SEC and Big Ten are out on
So, Ross did an amazing job, by the way. I thought it was really well done. Project Rudy was the name of kind of the latest. I got to be honest. I don't love all the NCAA talk. It bores me. The private equity talk actually excites me. I do enjoy it. I think it's so intriguing in this giant money pot that is college football of everyone trying to get their
hands. Well, because you know there's so much money in
there,
right?
God. And everyone's trying to get in, and all of them are a bunch of assholes. So Project Rudy, just to quickly summarize, there's PE. They want to dump, like, I think it was $6.5 billion, spread it out among 70 schools, basically eliminate FCS games, which I found interesting, better television contracts, better product week to week. To be honest, Paige, reading this, there were some very compelling things. I'll be completely honest. Like, I know FCS programs, like, you got to pay these schools to get their ass kicked and keep their program afloat. It's not a good business model. So if you were to improve the week to week product of this, that's a positive thing. In any event, we've been rumored to have the private equity stuff for a couple of years now, at least a year. And
I mean, we're still waiting on it, by the way, to be fixed and finalized in golf. So
there's so much money. You're exactly right. Like, there is so much money that this is a mess. And the $6.5 billion, by the way, they would be giving to schools to, like, buy out of future contracts. I mean, a lot of that money would go to having to pay players starting next fall, because football economics, I think, is a problem. And that. So essentially, however, the Big Ten and the SEC, which to me is fucking weird that they're like buddy-buddy. I don't like that either now, like the power two. But today the commissioners came out and really dumped a bucket of cold water on it, basically saying they feel good about where they're at. They can do all these things themselves, which they can't.
So the crazy part about this, though, is that college football, for all of its pros, does have some cons, in the sense that there's been bag men for a while. There's a lot of money in these alumni groups, especially in those conferences that are saying no, okay? And if you let a private investment fund come in, say from another place, you have to deal with a lot of other stuff that comes with that.
Yes.
That almost isn't worth the price, because you can get not the same amount of money, but a very, 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 very large portion of that money from the people that live here and are, you know, part of the college football culture and are not. And I'm not saying that, like, there aren't people that are, you know, giving money to the schools NIL that are not wanting some sort of say in who gets chosen to get this money or who gets chosen to play for their team or, you know, who's their head coach, all of those things. But that's been part of college football for a while.
Yes.
Because we've had boosters being involved a lot in the coaching stuff. But I think it's a little different when they're, like, closely related to it, as opposed to maybe someone coming in and trying to just make money off of it and not have any emotional attachment to it. Where I think the SEC and Big Ten have plenty of people with deep pockets that have emotional attachment that will also view it from a more reasonable standpoint and not just a money-making standpoint. However, that will be a large part of it. I think there's part of it that is still sacred.
I think that Greg Sankey at times can be full of shit.
Yeah.
And I think that depending on what the investment would be, like, private equity could inject so much money into these schools.
Can you imagine?
I do think it's interesting that because the narrative is this is happening.
Yeah.
And the two most important commissioners are basically saying, like, well, maybe not. It's interesting. That is interesting to me. No,
we don't believe them at all. I mean, that's the thing. I hope, well, that's the other part of that. I hope, though, that, I mean, think maybe the theory that I just threw out there about, like, wanting to keep it at home, was mostly me just, like, projecting what I actually want to happen. And I don't want to have the discussions that we had to have around golf, around college
football. That's the exact conversation, though.
I just don't want to do it.
Greg Sankey, I don't, like, he is John Rahm. Like, I'm very happy here playing on the PGA Tour. And then they're like, well, here is $400 billion. And he's like, puts the live hat on, puts his little PE hat on, and, like, here we go. Like, that will dictate. That will decide.
Ugh. if it infiltrates our sport, I'll be so sad. I mean, I'm sure it's already in some capacity.
It's coming. Oh, I still think it's coming.
After I criticized people for being like, don't complain, just get into whatever's new and enjoy the moment.
The part that scares me, I think giving what happens to a lot of the other sports is what scares me. Because
Because then it doesn't become about college athletics. It's strictly... people think that that's where we're at right now. If you have private investment funds coming in, it's
having
goodbye.
Worked in a very small window with these companies, their whole thing is turning a big investment into a slightly bigger investment. And the way you do that is by cutting costs, right? Yeah. You could look for new markets, but like, hey, you know that field hockey team, you know, your wrestling team? Yeah, we're not going to do those anymore. That would happen. I mean, that's scary.
And not to be super morbid about this stuff, but like, I mean, there's private investment funds in countries that don't really believe in the rights of women. So yeah, we have Title IX, but there's a lot of money in a lot of places that could have that done away with, and there could be a lot bigger problems with sports and women's sports specifically if that were the case. So jarring thought. But we'll just enjoy right now. We'll just enjoy
with all
right
that said, we have an amazing week of football. So
yes,
I don't believe that I have a lot of the big games for my locks. Actually, I don't. I don't know if you do as well, but we should start with Oregon, Ohio State.
Yeah, I'm not touching that.
I am not touching it either. So here's my problem. My style of betting, my Baylor versus BYU style of betting, which has worked so well this year, it has not, tells me that you should bet Oregon in this game.
What?
It's only 3 points. Does that scare you at all?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe people just aren't watching Ohio State. I think it's going to be a blowout. I know it's at Oregon, but I genuinely believe then it's going to be a pretty big blowout. I also think people are going with history and being like, hey, we've seen this time and time again with Ohio State, and we don't really have that much faith in them because they haven't really been tested and all that. But, like, Oregon has not looked good.
No.
They have not looked good, you guys. So I just don't know. I'm shocked by that spread, to be honest with you.
It looks too easy.
It's just because it's too easy, Paige.
I'm telling you.
It's just because it's at Oregon, too. I think that's obviously one of the tougher places to play for the away team. So I don't know. I'm not going to touch that game because I don't want to put money on it, but I'm in terms of just discussing this game, I personally think that Ohio State's going to win by quite a big margin.
We picked Ohio State to win the title. Ohio State in this game months ago was pick'em, basically. They're now -3. It feels weird to me. I think this is danger zone for the Buckeyes. I really do. Based on the point spread alone. Just based on the point spread, this one has got, like, it's given me the willies. The other game, I have no idea what to do with this game. Wow, this spread has moved. So I have been, like, again, on the go for the last few days. Penn State, USC.
Okay.
All right. In terms of, like, both of these coaches need this game so fucking bad.
So badly.
So bad. And whoever loses this is going to eat a huge, huge thing of shit. Now, again, USC just lost to Minnesota. They've not been great after a fun start. They are only a 3.5-point home dog here. Do you have anything with this game? Because the radar is
up. I have nothing for locks, but I actually, this is the one game that I couldn't tell you what is going to happen. Like, I've watched so much of both of these teams this year, and I'm like, I couldn't tell you who's going to win this football game. I have no idea. Because these two legitimately could be two different types of teams. That's the crazy part. And that's why I think the coaching situation is what it is. And, like, they both really need this. Like, Lincoln's not going to get fired, but, like, James Franklin, like, we've been discussing this for so long. The playoff is expanded. You no longer are in divisions in the Big Ten. Your schedule doesn't include both Michigan and Ohio State. This is your year to just silence them. And if you take this loss, ooh, because you are going to lose that Ohio State game. Like, you're going to be borderline.
By the
borderline.
Way, if USC
and they
loses...
always lose a bad game, too, by the way. Sorry. They always lose
no,
a bad
no.
Penn State does, always.
If USC loses this game, they will be 3-3. And then they're going to have to travel cross-country to play at Maryland, which Maryland's not great, but they'll be that'll be a short spread. They have to play Rutgers, who's not bad. They play at Washington, who's not bad. Nebraska looks pretty good. UCLA, trash. And then Notre Dame. Like, it's weird.
So they could be potentially playing Notre Dame.
For a bowl.
For a bowl? You really think Notre Dame?
All right, there's three. Let's do our favorite game.
Well, you could be playing for a playoff spot, don't you think? Like, if Notre Dame doesn't lose.
Well, USC.
Oh, if they lose this game, then they're obviously not.
If they lose this game,
they're
3-3. I think they could lose to Maryland. I actually think they could lose to Rutgers. And they just lost to fucking Minnesota. They could certainly lose
a brutal game
at Washington.
Disgusting loss.
I just like. This is just somebody's going to be a pissed off bowl. The message board for the losing team is going to be furious. The message board for the winning team might be furious. That's where the relationship between coach and fan base is there.
Watch them lose all those games, be so terrible, and then beat Notre Dame to really kick Notre Dame out of the playoff, because I feel like Notre Dame will lose again.
Where is the hope? Like, where is the hope if you're you? I kind of went this way. Like, where is it going to get better? You're playing in this conference now, and I don't think it's going to be conducive for them to be in contention. I really don't. I don't know. It's a huge game this week.
That game is super weird. We've got the Red River Rivalry this week. SEC game.
And Oklahoma's down their top five wide receivers.
Yeah, and then Quinn Ewers is playing.
Can I we like Texas in this game?
Oh, yep. Yes. Yes.
Okay. Why is Missouri playing Massachusetts? Like, you look up and down.
It's
conference games everywhere. I mean, I'm looking. It's great. Really,
and
a
also
great
the
week.
SEC's so big. What are they doing?
I don't understand. At UMass.
But also, like, Missouri, you fumbled the bag so hard. Like, we actually didn't talk about that enough. You fumbled the bag so hard. So they take that loss to Texas A&M. Bad loss. Okay. You got UMass. You've got Auburn. You've got Alabama. You've got Oklahoma, South Carolina, Mississippi State, and Arkansas.
I mean, that's very doable. Unfortunately, they're just...
It was right there. You're just... but still, they could lose to... So they'll probably lose to Alabama. You could potentially lose to Oklahoma, and then you're for sure out.
Yep.
But you can't lose any of those other... Like at South Carolina, after
that's,
seeing...
South Carolina's
defense is pretty good. So
Missouri is just not that good, too. Unfortunately,
no,
I just don't.
Their offense has regressed so much.
What about Ole Miss LSU?
Lane better win that game.
Yeah, at LSU.
What's the spread?
The spread is 3.5. I would probably bet LSU. That's a mess. So I want no part of that game. The total in this game,
there's
by
a lot
the way,
of games where I was like, man,
61.5. That's a big total, 61.5. Kind of like the over. Let's see.
Arizona BYU.
Did I include that in my locks? I was going to. I don't think I did. No, I did not. I like Arizona.
Nice.
Do you like Arizona? You're like, that's good for you.
I just can't give any after that game against Texas Tech.
It's only a 3-point spread. I'm going to add them into my locks. Like,
okay.
I'm adding them in. I'm going to do that today.
All right.
Do
you want to do betting locks?
Let's do betting locks.
All right.
Me or you?
We can trade off. I can start with a big game because I have a big game.
You know what? I'm getting another beer because otherwise I'm going to keep coughing. Hold that thought.
So the strategy right now is that Kramer needs another beer in order to keep from coughing, which, you know.
Sad state of the beer fridge. Jesus.
You've been out of town.
I know, but it's bad, man.
God. All right. So let's start with Texas, Oklahoma. I have over 48.5 points. Give me the OVA.
I like it. It feels like a low number for this game.
And that's because it's not the Big 12 anymore, you know?
Well, it's also, this game has produced some.
Some bangers.
I feel like some bangers it has.
Some bangers.
But I agree with you. I like that. Okay. I am going to start with Iowa. I am betting Iowa minus 2.5. It looks like the number is 3 now versus Washington. Classic Iowa. Washington beats Michigan. Washington's really good. This is like USC going to Minnesota. Washington going to Iowa City to play still what is a pretty good defense and a very good running game. I think it's a... How many times have I picked Iowa on this show?
Like, not a lot.
Maybe this may be the second time. Like, I rarely do this. I think it's a good spot for them.
Yes. So my next one is Cal plus 3 versus Pitt. I think this is where the road ends for Pitt.
I love that. I love that. I have that in my secondary.
I very much like that pick. Thank you so much.
We are all over that. Give me West Virginia plus 3.5 versus Iowa State.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah.
Iowa State minus 3.5.
I'm not going to argue that you're wrong this time.
Yeah, you really can't. Maybe you'll get this one back.
No, Iowa State is really good. But it's, again, I'm playing spreads. It's a really short spread. I think it's a tough road place to play. It's a big one for Iowa State. If Iowa State wins this game, that season really does start to shorten a little bit. And we're talking about them as a legitimate college football playoff team. I think West Virginia, though, maybe a little bit better than people think.
Yes. I grappled with that one, deciding on which side to go on. So I will give you that. Boise State minus 20.5. The over just is not, it's 59.5, and I just couldn't take that. So I'm going to take the giant spread with Boise State versus Hawaii. I love Boise State and watching their team play football. Let's just put that. I have been high on them since preseason. I hope they're the college football playoff team for a group of fives.
I like this too. I think it could be 21-0 after the first quarter.
Exactly. So I really.
So this next one, actually, when I made this pick, I thought about having this conversation because I'm breaking the. Do you ever watch Point Break? Where the surfers rob banks. Do you know the movie Point Break?
No.
You've never seen Point Break?
No.
Holy fucking
shit,
Paige.
Did you say where the surfers rob banks?
Yes, and they dress up as ex-presidents when they rob banks. When I say it out loud, it may not sound like a great movie.
Yeah, it sounds like a movie my dad would like. But
I want you to ask your lovely fiance about Point Break. See what he says. Okay. So, and then,
keep in mind that he's 3 years younger than me, so is there like an age limit to this?
Oh, fuck, maybe. Yeah. Maybe. Oh,
we'll see. We'll test it out.
You guys should watch Point Break. Not the remake, but the original. So when they're robbing banks, they had like a very specific set of rules that they would follow.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, like they break those rules, the whole thing goes to hell. Spoiler alert. I have a rule that I'm not going to get invested with camerizing football games anymore. I had this rule. I'm breaking my fucking
rule.
And
you are? What are you doing?
I kind of love Arizona State plus 6 versus Utah. I'm so tired of it. I'm so tired of the Utah bullshit.
I think he's going to play. Normally you are with Utah, though. You usually bet with Utah. So this is technically still not breaking your rule because you're not betting with Utah.
No, they've been good over years, too. But like, I don't like how this thing is handled. And I do. Arizona State has been really fun to watch. I don't know how great they are, but they're a pain in the ass. I think they'll be a pain in the ass at home against Utah.
Yeah, you'll never catch me saying that. I bet them a couple weeks ago. Kansas State, Colorado, over 56. Give me all of the points.
That is one of my locks as well.
Is it?
It is. Yep.
Let's go.
That's our first one of the year, I feel like.
Is it?
Yeah, might be. I don't know.
My favorite thing about this Colorado situation in general, just having to talk about them, is that they are very entertaining. And this year, it's proven to be better than even last year. So I'm actually having a lot of fun because that team is going to score a lot of points. Travis Hunter is going to do his thing and be entertaining. Kansas State, obviously, still to be playoff eligible, needs to keep winning, and has an atrocious loss, in my opinion, on their resume. But yeah, I'm stoked for this game.
I think this over is going to go way over.
Yep.
Like way the fuck over.
And it's a late game, so it's 7:50. It's 10. Yeah, 10:15 Eastern time kickoff.
Oh no, and it's
Boise State one's 8 p.m. So I'm waiting late.
Yeah, this is
late night.
So we're on the same page there. Then my last one I have is Kentucky -13.5 versus Vanderbilt. Vandy is still hungover. Kentucky is a bitch to play at home.
Yep.
There's a lot of ingredients here that says Kentucky's going to win this game like 31-5, like that type of game.
How drunk and how long do you think it took the players of Vanderbilt to sober up after that win against Alabama? Like, you will forever be on the Vanderbilt team that beat the modern day Alabama.
Yeah, you're a legend.
Like, you go down in history. Like, they talk about that all the time. You get to, you know how there's, like, that running joke of, like, guys when they hit on women and they're like, yeah, I tore my ACL so I couldn't play in college or, like, whatever. Or, like, they had their, like, little thing. Oh, I played at, like, a D3 school.
Yeah.
Like, not only do you have in your pocket that you were a D1 football player, but this is a, like, I beat Bama. Like, I beat Bama. Like, it doesn't matter if you played or not. You get to use that for the rest of your life. And I kind of am happy. I mean, I don't like to see Alabama lose, of course, but I'm happy for those Vanderbilt players and that staff because you will forever have that's legendary.
0-60 against top five teams, right? That was the stat.
Yes.
Vandy was
0-60.
1-60. Like
1-60.
Yes. By the way, since I think we're to our random shit portion.
Yes.
Speaking of legends, how about the New York fucking Mets?
You're so excited. I'm excited for you.
God.
I am.
So, all right. So I went last week because you did the pod solo. Thank you for doing that. I went to Milwaukee. I have a funny story. So it was me and my dad. We had a great time. We sat behind Jesse Winker's parents, which is cool. Talk baseball with like
also to, like you talking with anyone's parents is just like so on brand
because
you
that
you do that for a living when
I'll
we
do
did
that
features.
At a kid's soccer game I'll do that everywhere that is in my mantra. My dad almost got into a fight with a Brewers fan. Like we
love
were pretty lit. It was fun. They lost horribly. That wasn't fun. The next night they have that win. And it looked like it was going to be a huge loss. My celebration was appalling. I was doing laps around the house with my kids, with wine, of course, lots of wine. It was one of the cooler sports moments that I think I've been able to witness.
So are your kids Mets fans? Like, have you taught them to be Mets fans? Okay. I was just making sure.
I don't force this, by the way. They want to be Cubs fans. They want to be whatever.
I mean,
like,
they've been Iowa fans, football fans. So I feel like I'm
so annoying about them that they're like, yeah, we're not, like, but we're watching this game and like the Mets have done nothing but fucking disappoint me for my whole life.
Like, he checked to make sure no children were downstairs.
Well, I just
you left that was so funny. I wish you guys could see it. I hope producer Matt can clip that because you were waiting to drop the F bomb, but heard. maybe there's going to be a child present, and you were like,
I hear footsteps. I've been gone on a trip. I haven't seen them. So I'm waiting for them to
bust
come
down.
Down.
And be like, hey, dad, just heads up. Come hang out.
Yeah, they just got home.
By the way, I live near train tracks, and the train, I can hear it pretty much every day. I've been here living here for a month now. We've done endless live shows, endless podcasts, and this was the first time that it has ever gone by and made a really loud noise while we were on. I don't think anyone, maybe if you go back and hear it, but I have always been so afraid that it's going to happen during a live show, and it has not happened at all, but it's like replacing Hank in the it could randomly happen and I have no control over it.
I did not hear it.
But I am happy for you and your Mets. And I think baseball is so fun. I love October baseball as an October baby, which, by the way, it's birthday month for me. So get excited.
It's birthday month. It's playoff. So
isn't Olivia's birthday in October?
Yes, it's next week. She is having 13 girls sleep over on Sunday night.
This Sunday?
Yeah. It's bad.
What's the theme?
Since I'm recording in my basement, The behind me looks largely normal, like the normal setup. Uh-huh. But right off the picture, they're doing like a neon party with like
so fun.
Gee, is that a thing?
Yeah,
because it's like fucking neon shit everywhere on the walls and like black. Like what?
Can't wait for you to get into the deep like theme as they get older.
Just like bluey. Oh. Like it was way
better
when it
was
like
be Paw Patrol.
Fucking Mickey. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like.
You were going to say Mickey Mouse, and I was like, "Pop!" Exactly.
Well, and now the boys are like sport nuts, so they're like,
"Yeah,
Jets, Mets, like give me whatever." But, so we're having I think 13 girls. I forgot about it. Life is coming at me fast.
To be fair, your voice has held up very well. I will say you muted a lot to cough, but you crushed it on that front.
So I had to work a trade show in Vegas. I woke up on Monday or Tuesday, and you know when you're flying, and now I've had it before where I felt so sick, I got to the airport and went home. I've done that one time. Came home, I had 104 fever. It was horrible. This wasn't that, but I wake up, the kids have been all sick. I go, my voice is already shot. And out in Vegas, A, you're talking to people at a trade show.
Yeah.
It's so dry. Like, I could be perfectly healthy. And by the way, you're out drinking, doing dumb shit too. You're taking in air.
The fresh smoke air.
But by Tuesday afternoon, this is probably like galactically better than it was. I could not have done this pod yesterday. Like, it would not have been possible. So it's better than it was. But
you were down bad yesterday. I could tell that you were like, I don't think I'm going to be able to go.
It sucks too, not having a voice. Like,
well, especially with what we do, and like, knock on plastic here. I'm glad that I haven't gotten hit with any sickness that's taken out my voice in a while. But I don't know if you. I think it was last year. I've gotten taken out and had no voice, and it is a brutal.
It is going
situation.
Around right now. But Vegas was fun. I ate at my favorite restaurant out there, probably my favorite restaurant in the world, which is Zuma at the Cosmo. It's just so much.
Okay.
They have the best. It's like tapas, but like the greatest.
I love the chandelier bar.
It was also still over. I love the chandelier bar too. It was still over 100 degrees.
Vegas. It's
crazy.
Hot here. It's hot in California still. Today was their first like cool day, and it's 80 degrees today.
No bueno. So that's my random shit. Go Mets. I mean, seriously, like. I watched yesterday on a cell phone in a trade show booth. So, like, it wasn't like...
That's the best part about playoff baseball is, like, watching when... Like, even with teams that I don't necessarily care about, obviously because my baseball team abandoned me.
So sad.
I know, right? But I have so many memories of just watching, like, playoff baseball because it's just so exciting. Like, anything could legit happen. But I'm a Cubs fan now, but that starts next year, you know?
I didn't know this.
Yeah, I didn't tell you. I mean, this was like kind of in the making because I went to Chicago for my brother's 16th birthday, and we went to two Cubs games, and this happened to be the year that they won the World Series after not winning it for 108 years. So I just kind of was like, hey, I was good luck for the Cubs. Like, I'm going to be a Cubs fan when the A's inevitably leave me. So now I have affiliated myself with the Cubs. And I already have the gear because we bought gear. And I went to see their some of those playoff games against the Giants, too, which was insane.
I mean,
those were one of my coolest, like, BR things is that, like, when the San Francisco office, like, was really popping. So we had Giants season tickets. So they would, like, raffle them off. And, like, you'd pick the games you'd want to go and rank them. And they'd, you know, do this raffle for them. Well, come playoff time, they sent a email day of. And they were like, hey, tonight, if you want these tickets, like, put your name in for this raffle. Well, they had not only our tickets, but they had the Turner tickets as well. So we thought that we won, me and a few other people that I work with, thought that we had won tickets in our company seats that we have, our season tickets, which is like left field. And it's in kind of a not so great spot to like see that side of the field. No, we were actually, before they moved it, we were by the away bullpen, like seven rows up down the first baseline. It was so sick. Like and they came back, by the way, and scored four runs in the ninth, I think, to win. It was the coolest thing. Like Chris Bryant home run off the like cars out, the Chevron cars out in left field. Like
it's
one of the coolest playoff baseball experiences that I've had. So for me, it's more that I've had like nostalgia pieces with the Cubs organization that I feel like I need to associate myself with that a little bit.
I am, if the Mets go to the World Series, I am going.
Okay, good. I will say I am going to root for the Mets just because my childhood friend, Paul Blackburn, is now on the Mets. So I will be a fan of.
How about your podcast? Like co-host?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And Adam Kramer, you are.
And it's nice when you're not, like, getting your heart broken by sports things. One more Vegas nugget. F1 is next month.
Yes.
Like, way less disruptive this year.
Well, yeah, the construction way was just so bad.
It was terrible last year. Way less this time around. I think they're in pretty good shape, which is good.
I will certainly get out to that race at some point. It's a bummer that like all the, I guess the Miami race is in a good spot for me to go, but Austin is in next week. Not this week, but next week. And then, obviously, Vegas is during November, so it is during college football season. But the Austin race is always the weekend of my birthday, so I feel like maybe I turn a certain age that's, like, super big, I should blow it out and go to the Austin race.
Do you have any other random shit? I can't believe this was somehow an hour.
I honestly couldn't believe it either. I told producer Matt before this that this was going to be a short episode. We always do this. Somehow we do this. No, I think we're good. Guys, definitely apologize for the delay in episode. We appreciate your enthusiasm
on me
for stuff. But it is much more fun to do this podcast with Kramer. So I am glad that he is back and we waited for him to be back to do the episode because it is way more fun.
I'm going to go see my family.
Go spend time with your family before
we're gonna celebrate the Mets.
Yep.
And then back to the grind. We have good football games. Actually, we have some decent football games coming on like right now.
And happy early birthday, Olivia. And we can't wait to hear about your sleepover next week on Random Shit.
Full report on Random Shit coming. I'm glad you brought that up. That is where this podcast thrives, is weird dad shit in college football.
Yes.
All right. For Paige, I am Adam. Cheers, guys. Talk soon.